Welcome back to the Healthy ADHD Podcast. I am your host, Liz Lewis. The Healthy ADHD Podcast is still a place where I want to talk to the most interesting people living and working in ADHD. As you can tell, I am really struggling with some of the tech stuff around having a podcast, but I've decided that the tech is not as important as the content itself. So let's just get on with it, shall we? Welcome back. I am recording a quickie. I'm having a quickie with all of you today, and I didn't realize how bad that sounded until it came out. But I wanted to address this issue for a while, so I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to do it today. I have so many meetings this week, so I don't have a ton of time, but this is something I've been wanting to put out there. I get a lot of questions, and I've been thinking myself quite a bit about the word health and healthy and the fact that, you know, my handle on social has always been Healthy ADHD and my website is called Healthy ADHD. And I just wanted to sort of explain how I chose it and what it means to me and what it doesn't mean. All right. So I was walking with my dog this morning and I just decided to do this. A few weeks ago, I actually sat down in the Enclave. I think it was a Thursday night meeting, and I talked to them about the word health and healthy and how it should be defined. And we all agreed, and I actually have in my group, and that night she was there, I have somebody who's an MD, and she was saying that, you know, doctors are trained to look for disease. And so the absence of disease doesn't necessarily mean that one is healthy. And so it got us on this discussion about health and the word healthy and what does it mean. And I explained to the girls that way back when I started the website, the reason I chose the handle Healthy ADHD was because I have always looked at ADHD itself, not so much as a disorder or a disease, but as a lifestyle factor. Like, yeah, it's a diagnosis and you have to have some testing to get the diagnosis, but I have never looked at it really as anything but a lifestyle factor, a little part of a bigger picture of who we all are. At the time, I didn't know that that was kind of a humanistic viewpoint, a whole person viewpoint. I just thought that was my opinion and that was how I looked at myself and other women. But anyway, that is considered a very like whole person view of ADHD. It's not a real clinical or medical view on ADHD. So I'm going to discuss first how I break down the word health and healthy. And I basically break it down into three parts. And I'm going to use the notes from our discussion. So when you talk about physical health, and unfortunately for women, the word health and the word healthy, I wish it wasn't this way, but for a lot of us, that word, we sort of default to thinking about our bodies, maybe our body shape, our weight, the way we look. And I think that physical health isn't just necessarily the way you look on the outside. I really think that physical health has a lot to do with how you take care of your body. And as we age, I think that means different things. But it is important, you know, one thing about ADHD that I discovered in my 20s was that the more I moved my body, the more I felt I could manage my symptoms. So yes, exercise is important, but it's more important for how I feel than it is for how I look. Does that make sense? Like there's a big difference between exercising because you're trying to look a certain way in your bathing suit and exercising because you know it makes you feel better, even mentally better. Also, when it comes to physical health and ADHD, what you eat, I mean, it is a factor. To be pretty open about my eating issues in the past, and I'll be completely honest and say, I think when you have ADHD, sometimes the reason so many of us have eating issues is because when you feel like you're not in control of yourself, sometimes you look for things that you can control. And sometimes, depending on your personality type and your genes, maybe you start to try to control what you eat. I would never want to tell someone that that's a good idea. The body, the human body, ADHD or not, isn't going to do well on a diet of like fast food, Cheetos. I mean, I love Cheetos. Don't get me wrong. But your body's not going to function really well on fast food, Cheetos, pizza all the time. Even though that's convenient and we don't all like to meal plan, it probably isn't the best for us. So blood sugar regulation, again, this is something I sort of noticed in my 20s and even when I was pregnant, that if I maintain a fairly even blood sugar level, if I'm not having these up and down, these spikes in my blood sugar, my mood is better. I can think more clearly. And I mean, logically, we know that. I mean, it's not just ADHD. We know that managing our diet is better for us all around. But with ADHD, it becomes a little bit more important that we are taking care of our physical health. Again, not necessarily from the angle of I want to look a certain way, but from the angle of this is better for my brain health. This is better for my functioning. This is how, you know, I can keep my thought process clear if I can't take medications. You know, anyway, that is how I look at physical health and ADHD. It's not that default of like, I work out because I want to be a size 6. Like, that's not it. So one of the things we also talked about in the enclave that night was the idea of like mental emotional health. It's really hard because you can't see it. It's invisible. You might know that your mood sucks one morning when you get up. I mean, my mood sucks every morning when I wake up. I'm pretty sure it's neurochemical. I wake up, I might be a little low on dopamine, but who knows what else? I'm really grouchy. I need caffeine. I need my meds. I need some time to myself. A lot of us with ADHD, because of our emotional dysregulation stuff, and whether we like to admit it or not, that is part of the executive function stuff that we struggle with. With this like up and down in our emotional states, and it can happen 10 times a day, some of us look at this as a moral or character failing. We actually talked about this the other night too, about how sometimes these symptoms of ADHD feel like a moral or character defect. And that affects our mood. You know, we have a lot more negative rumination. At some point, almost every woman I talk to has sort of said, you know, if you were a more together person, if you were a better person, you'd be able to handle this ADHD thing. Just, you know, try harder. Oh my God, try harder. Just, you know, work it out, you know, tough it out. And that's, I think that's part of the issue. Or, oh, my favorite is when people tell you just, you know, journal, brain dump, and then manage your thoughts around it. Or make a list. That'll work. Make a list and keep a calendar. You know, everything will be good. And it's kind of like, no. Not all of us have the executive function to do that, right? And so we start to think there's really just this thing wrong with us, that we can't manage our mood and we can't motivate ourselves to do what we think we want to do. And we do feel like it's a character flaw. And it doesn't matter how many times we're told or how logically we know it's not true. It's hard to unroll that. It's like the layers of an onion. It's just really hard to get out of that mindset of if I were just, you know, better, if I were just a better person. Part of managing your emotions with ADHD and your emotional mental health is regulating these mood states. And we aren't good at that, right? Self-regulation is a huge issue for us. So what I always tell people is part of your health care is your mental health care. Whether that means you take medications, there's a lot of people taking, I love my medication. I always tell people, this is so funny. I always tell everyone I take Concerta and it is like a mood stabilizer for me. When I take Concerta, my mood is better. I'm not going up and down all day long. I feel less overwhelmed with my life. I feel like I can handle what the day throws at me without having a meltdown. I also understand that there are accessibility issues with medication. I've had those issues myself. When my insurance changed, I had to have a pre-auth. I had to pay a lot of money to get a few weeks of pills before I got the pre-auth done. Like, there are huge barriers. The other place you see a lot of barriers to mental, emotional health for ADHD is in accessibility to things like mental health care, different types of therapy, CBT therapy, DBT therapy. They tend to be the most research-backed ones for ADHD, but Dr. Russ Ramsey just told me a couple weeks ago about acceptance and commitment therapy and how that can be really helpful. Again, we have a sort of systemic issue in our country with mental health care. There are people that have health insurance but yet don't have any coverage for mental health. And When I talk about health and healthy ADHD, my brand, I guess you could say, I'm talking about your mental and emotional health too. I'm not just talking about your physical health. I should probably find an expert and do a whole podcast on the barriers to getting really effective, good mental health care with ADHD, because that's a huge issue. But I wanted to add that I've always considered the mental emotional stuff as part of my healthy ADHD plan, my personal plan. The last thing I want to talk about is social and interpersonal stuff, because this has come up again and again, especially in my email inbox. I get a lot of emails from people. Sometimes it's their partner, their life partner, their spouse. I've even gotten a few emails from young people, maybe with roommates or in college. This interpersonal issue, again, this is part of our self-regulation stuff that we deal with. Okay, people outside of us, right? Other humans can only see the behaviors. They can only see what's on the outside, the way we behave, our mood, maybe our mess, if we have issues with disorganization. That's what they can see. They can't see what's on the inside. And so, unfortunately, that is what they go on when they make their assessments of us. And this causes us a lot of angst. This is what causes this rejection-sensitive dysphoria stuff you hear about all the time. I think RSD is a thing. There will be times in your life when you feel it acutely, and there will be times in your life when you don't feel it as acutely. And that's okay. But I just want to say that this interpersonal stuff, it doesn't go away. So the only thing we can do is try to learn as much as we can about it, about how to relate to other people, how to work on social skills. And, you know, therapy can be good for that. I've also learned a lot just with my son's therapist, because my son is ADHD, but he's also on the spectrum. And we had a behavioral therapist that came to our house. And it's kind of interesting how much I learned about talking to my child, talking to my husband, how as a family we talk to each other, and how much of that I was able to use in the world. And even before that therapist, in the workplace, I always knew that I was going to misinterpret other people. I knew that other people would misinterpret me. And so I tried to teach myself ways to relate to the other humans. Social health is really important. I just want to say something about social media. I'm not saying that you should never use social media, but I think it's created a situation. ADHD people, a lot of us have never felt seen and validated in our lives. And so we can jump on social media and get some instant sort of dopamine hit gratification, intermittent rewards, I believe is what the doctors call it. And we get very confused between what is attention and what is validation. And social media makes that worse for us. And I think if we're struggling with the actual humans in our lives, it's very tempting to just, your entire life shifts to being online. And then one day, I don't know, you put out a post or something and nobody likes or comments or whatever. And then you're back to feeling like you have nobody in the world who understands you. All of your online friends ignored you today. Maybe Instagram went down, who knows? And all the people in your real life, I'm going to say in quotes, you know, they don't understand you either because you've shifted everything to online and now you feel alone. Now you don't have people, and people are really important. I always make sure, I try really hard to maintain real life friendships and relationships. Human interaction and contact is really important. It's one of the reasons I started the Enclave a couple years ago before the pandemic. I've been using Zoom for years and I've been body doubling for years because I realized how much more powerful it was to see other people's faces a couple times a week to see other people. So when I talk about healthy ADHD or health care with ADHD, I am also talking about social, interpersonal health. So again, I just want to rehash. When I talk about health and lifestyle with ADHD, I am talking about, yes, how we take care of our bodies, but I'm also talking about our mental health, mental, emotional health, and trying to care for that. And I'm also talking about social interpersonal health. And it's not just ADHD people, it's everyone. No man is an island, okay? So The last thing I want to say here is, and this came up during the enclave meeting where we were discussing the word health and ADHD lifestyle. One of the questions was, how do you actually know you're doing things right? How do you know if you are leading a healthy lifestyle, right? And that's another thing, healthy lifestyle. You know, there are lots of healthy lifestyle coaches out there too. What we decided was that it has more to do with your state, your emotional state at any given time than it does with your physical state. So I wrote these sort of sketchy notes down here. So I always take notes during the enclave meetings, but sometimes they're a little hard for me to understand later. So under how do you know is you feel rested. You feel like you don't have any major health complaints, meaning you don't have any, you know, crises in your closest relationships. You're not having a physical health crisis. You don't have, you know, your ankle isn't swollen up like a balloon. And maybe you're feeling calm. I love the word calm because most of the time we don't feel calm. The other word I wrote in my notes here was content. Like you're strong enough to do mentally and physically to do the things you want to do. You don't feel entirely overwhelmed. You feel content. And I really like this definition of healthy life with ADHD. You know, this idea of just, I can handle it. You know, this goes back to the self-regulatory efficacy I talked to Dr. Ramsey about. Feeling like, okay, I'm content. I can do all the things I need to do to move my life forward. My mood is fairly calm and I trust myself, right? That's ideal. That is the healthy ADHD lifestyle, feeling calm, like you can handle it. Because you can. It's just a matter of believing that you can, proving to yourself that you can. Okay, so I hope that answers some of the questions about the word health and healthy, because I do think, even if we don't admit it, it's a very tough word, especially for women. It's a hard word to define. So healthy ADHD lifestyle. There you go. Don't forget, if you find this podcast helpful and entertaining, to leave me reviews on iTunes. You can follow me anywhere under the handle Healthy ADHD. See what I did there? I just inserted Healthy ADHD. Don't be afraid to come and check out the Enclave. I have plans to do a future episode on the Enclave where I break it down, explain the features of the actual group. It's just, I'm really punchy today and I can't sit down and record another episode. But the Enclave is a brilliant group of women, and we talk about things that actually matter, and we make our lives calmer and more satisfying. If you want to support this podcast, my research, and the other work that I do, I will drop a link to Buy Me a Coffee. It's a little like Patreon, but simpler. I hope that makes sense. It's almost fall. I mean, it's almost Labor Day, and I feel it in my bones that good things are coming. Have a fabulous weekend. Like I always say, we are stronger together.